these international opportunities actually led you on an amazing journey to meet someone pretty special, right?
Yeah, so back in 2005, I had the opportunity of representing the United States in Special Mix Wisconsin at the 2005 Global Athlete Congress in Panama City, Panama, where I met my beautiful wife, Susie. I'm so happy to have Susie in my life and have actually Special Olympics in my life. So if it wasn't ever for me being involved with Special Olympics, I would have never met Susie.
Welcome to the Special Olympics Wisconsin Athlete Voice podcast. This podcast is really about sharing stories of our amazing athletes, coaches, volunteers, all about the mission of Special Olympics Wisconsin and the impact it's having in the state of Wisconsin. So we're so excited you joined us today. I'm Maddie Teeters. I'm proud to be a part of the Special Olympics Wisconsin team. And I'm here with my amazing co-host, Edward Castern. Hey, Ed, how's it going?
Hey, Eddie, it feels like a long time.
Long time since we recorded the last podcast. So I'm so excited we get to do this again, right? I'm excited to introduce our guest today, and I know you are too. So why don't you take that away for us?
His name is Travis Duckard. He's from Manitowoc. He's an athlete leader. He's probably like me. He's probably taking every leadership class there ever was. I consider him a friend. He's one of my role models, and I look up to.
Yeah, so I'm Travis Duckard. Like Ed said, I'm from Manitowoc County Special Olympics, local program 514. I've been involved with Special Olympics for over 37 years now. Like Ed said, I'm an athlete at all levels. I compete at the local level, state level, and I've also done national and international level. I'm also sit on top of the ALC programs at the US ALC level. I'm very honored to be on this podcast. It is going to be amazing. I cannot wait to hear all the wonderful questions you guys have for me.
Well, and Travis, when you talk about being a part of Special Olympics for 37 years, can you describe your birth story a bit and sort of how you and your parents found this path so many years ago to Special Olympics?
Well, back when I was born in 1997, July 30th, I was basically born with a rare disease called PKU, which is fetal catenuria. PKU is the short term for it, where your body's missing the enzyme needed to break down proteins. When I was born, the doctors thought I'd never be able to walk or talk. They had to drain out my whole system because it was all intoxicated with high levels of proteins. They did not know what was going on. They basically sent a university student at the University of Arizona came and asked my mom if he could have a sample of my hair. He believes he knew exactly what I had. And he took it down there that weekend, and he was already come back with the results that same day. He said, we need to institute your son. I believe he has PKU. We need to drain his whole system and get it all drained out. Ever since then, it was a very long path through that part. It was very hard to stay on a controlled diet. But fast forward, I joined Special Olympics at the age of 8. I was involved from about 8 until about 13. And then I took a little break because I had to move with my biological dad and my stepmom. I tried to go to schools over in Indiana. That did not work out very well. I was very outcasted at that point. It was not a good opportunity at all for me whatsoever. People would be very mean to me, hit me, call me names, call me the R word, all of those things. Even to the point, one time a kid shoved me in a garbage can, which was not very nice at all. Fast forward, then when I turned 18, I moved in with my mom, my biological mom, and my stepdad now, Rob, which is a huge part of my life in Special Olympics. He's actually my coach for basketball and softball, which is quite amazing. I start off with track and field at the age of 8. That's it. Track and field and basketball. That is it. That's all I ever did. Now I do volleyball, softball, basketball. Once in a while, I do flag football, which is quite amazing. I've competed at all different levels. I did volleyball at the World Games in 99. in Raleigh, North Carolina, where we placed fourth place right behind the UK. But that was quite exciting. And then in 2003 is actually when I went to the World Games for a half marathon run. And if you remember what I said, the doctor said I'd never be able to walk or talk. So that was quite amazing doing the half marathon.
Yeah, I mean, Travis, when you think about the places you've seen and the journeys you've been on, all that you've accomplished, I mean, what kind of message do you have out there for parents in particular about maybe they have learned that their young child has an intellectual disability or maybe there's some physical challenges there? What would you tell those parents about maybe some of the fears or the concerns that they're experiencing?
You know, parents need to be educated. And there's a great way to be for parents and caregivers in general to be educated on people's intellectual disabilities. Just because they have a disability does not mean the sky is not the limit for them. I mean, look at Edward in conjunction. Everything's not on me. Edward did amazing things with specialty, and he still is. But in my case, I've started off at birth, and look where I am now. You know, for all those parents, the sky's the limit for these athletes and your children with intellectual disabilities. So please give them the opportunity to succeed in life. And a lot of athletes, and a lot of athlete leaders, this is what they strive for. This is what they want. They want a voice in Special Olympics and being able to compete. Just being able to compete. I mean, a lot of that is just what they want to do. That's all. But in Edward's case, he's amazing. I mean, he has so many abilities. I mean, a lot of people like to use the word disabilities. I like the word abilities. That's an amazing word to me. Abilities are more powerful than disabilities, as far as I'm concerned. And everybody has that ability level to do what they want in life. But my case is I am normal. And the sky's the limit for a lot of athletes, a lot of people with intellectual disabilities within Special Olympics. And not even just in our state, really. It's worldwide. I mean, we serve, I think it's about 3.5 million people with intellectual disabilities. So, and people in Special Olympics, that's how many people we have in Special Olympics.
Yeah, so, and that's not even everybody, right? We haven't even captured everybody.
Travis, you said you just started out in basketball and volleyball, but what pushed you to do other sports?
Basically, the mid-90s, 97 to 99, had a wonderful program manager at the point. She's the one that gave me the passion to join harder in athlete leadership programs across Wisconsin. And, you know, to potentially do those other sports I've competed in, even at a higher level that I competed in, you know, she gave me the drive. And one of my other coaches, I'll never forget her. Her name was Melanie. She was my coach. And she actually came down and surprised me. She came down to the World Games in North Carolina and supported me. And that gave me the driving point to do bigger and better things in Special Olympics. And I do compete. My passion's given back to a great organization that's given me so many opportunities. Not locally, not statewide, but also internationally, all the way around, across the board.
And you have had, you know, some really incredible international opportunities. And, you know, when you talk about the sky's the limit, Travis, some of these international opportunities actually led you on an amazing journey to meet someone pretty special, right?
Yeah, so back in 2005, I had the opportunity of representing the United States in Special Olympics, Wisconsin, at the 2005 Global Athlete Congress in Panama City, Panama, where I met my beautiful wife, Susie. She was part of the Special Olympics Australia. She was part of the Asian Pacific, representing the Asian Pacific at that time. So basically how it all came about, I sat down at breakfast. Tim Shriver introduced me to Susie, basically said, hey, this is Travis, you know, and I basically sat down and I had this conversation with Susie, like I knew her forever. It's like I knew her forever, even though I didn't. I knew her forever. And Susie and I, we've been married for 16 years. Now we're going on 17 years.
Here we have Susie in Wisconsin now, right? We're so lucky. We're so lucky to have her.
She's here in Wisconsin now, you know, forever. She just became a U.S. citizen last year. She's considered a dual citizen of the United States and Australia, which is an amazing feat because that's a lot of there's a lot of challenges with that, obviously, but no, we've never been more happy in our life. Even with everything that's been going on this year, the year's getting a lot better as we're wearing on, obviously. But I'm so happy to have Susie in my life and have actually Special Olympics in my life. Because if it wasn't ever for me being involved with Special Olympics, I would have never met Susie.
Incredible.
over the years, who's been your biggest role model, who that you looked up to, that you kind of always wanted to be like?
That's a tough question, actually. Thank you for giving that one, Edward. I appreciate that. So my biggest role models are probably, I have a couple, to be honest with you. Eunice Kennedy Shriver, she's the one that started Special Olympics. She's the founder of Special Olympics in 1968, which has been a big mentor in my life. And Loretta Claiborne, for all those people that don't know Loretta Claiborne, she's been very instrumental in my progress in Special Olympics. Not a lot of people know that. I met her for the first time in 2003 in the airport in Logan International Airport in Boston. We were on our mission to go to the World Games in Ireland. So she's been inspirational in my life. I look up to her very much. And then also I'd have to say my dad and my family and my wife Susie, been very inspirational in my life. And my half marathon coach when I was at the World Games in Ireland, just him pushing me to be the best I could be, even through training and stuff. All those people are great mentors of mine. I look up to them very greatly. All my coaches, anybody that's coached me.
You know, what advice do you have for families out there where maybe they're thinking about getting, maybe it might be at the child age, or maybe it's at the older adult age, but they're considering having their person join Special Olympics. But maybe they're worried about capabilities. Maybe they're worried about, you know, are they going to be okay at the competition level? Maybe they're nonverbal. You know, what would you tell those folks to give them that peace of mind about participating in the movement?
So the very cool thing about Special Olympics compared to any other organization in the world, Special Olympics is very inclusive. It allows any person with intellectual disabilities, doesn't matter if you're 3 years old or if you're 94 years old. There's a place for everyone. We have basketball skills for people that are not able to be on a team yet. They can work their way up to that point. There's always a place for everyone in Special Olympics. So for all those families that are very hesitant, Special Olympics is a great organization, a great program for anyone with intellectual disabilities. It does not matter on the level. We have different levels. We go from lower levels all the way to higher levels to Division I athletes. So there's a place for everyone in Special Olympics here in our movement in general, but also in Wisconsin. Parents should not be hesitant on letting their children with intellectual disabilities join in Special Olympics because, like I said, for these athletes, I started off just in track and field. That is it. Like the 100 meters, that is it. And now I am sitting on the boards for international level. So the sky is really the limit for each athlete. The volunteers are amazing within Special Olympics Wisconsin. And all those volunteers are there to help your athletes to compete at the highest level they can. Or even, you know, just to compete. Like a lot of athletes, they just enjoy getting that recognition. That recognition being someone, you know, people love volunteering their time for Special Olympics. That is the thing I've noticed. And, you know, if it wasn't for those volunteers and those coaches and those spectators, you know, cheering you on for you to do your best, you know, that's what helps, you know.
We say it all the time, Travis, that just come and volunteer once and you will want to always be a part of this movement.
Addie, I remember you saying on the last podcast, that we all want a place at the table, you know.
Right.
You know, we all want a place at the table, and we all deserve a place at the table, and we've all earned it. And Travis, kudos to your mom for not giving up, not institutionalizing you, listening to some of those experts and things. That truly speaks to your character, and that's the reason why you don't give up, right?
I don't give up. I don't give up because, like I said, I had so many challenges growing up, for sure, but because of those challenges, I am a better person, and I'm a better man for that. You know, gratitude to my stepdad for making me the person I am today also. You know, pushing me always, you know, my coaches and everyone. I just have so much support, and all these athletes need a lot of support from a lot of different people, whether it's their caregivers, their parents, their guardians. You know, remember, there's Special Olympics for everyone, even for the caregivers and parents.
I think what you spoke of there, Travis, about Special Olympics has a place for the caregivers and the families, too. I mean, we all hear that old saying of it takes a village. But to be able to talk to other parents or other caregivers and guardians who maybe are struggling with a certain healthcare problem, or maybe there's a new coping mechanism that has worked for their child, to be able to talk to other folks and support each other and talk to other people that just understand what your family experiences on a daily basis. That's pretty powerful, isn't it?
That actually really is. And that sounds back to, like, Special Olympics is a family. And you hit it right perfect, Addy. Special Olympics is a huge family. Now, say these parents are very hesitant about their athletes or their children going to Special Olympics. Special Olympics is like a big family. Everyone watches out for everyone. It doesn't matter what program you're with. Everyone watches out for everyone. Whether it's another coach for another program, somebody's having a medical situation, we'll use as an example. You know, everyone's there to help everyone. Nobody's left in the dark. You know, we're one big family, Special Olympics. I have a huge family. I have my 3.4 million people in my family right now worldwide that everybody knows me. I have friends across the world. I have friends internationally. I have friends here in Wisconsin. I have friends nationally also. So all from each crosses of the United States also, and the Caribbean region and all over the place, including Australia, Ireland.
Travis, going forward in the movement, what kind of changes and things do you see in the future? Like, because, you know, with it being athlete, the Special Olympics wants to be more athlete-led. What kind of more roles do you see coming up? Because there's no reason why we can't be CEOs. There's no reason why we can't do the things that we need to do. And
yeah, so that's 100% correct. And, you know, on the interesting part, so when I did a 5-page application and to get elected for the regional Congress. And one of the things I had, one of the videos I had to do with my now mentor, Grace, through Special Olympics Wisconsin, I had to make a video, what would be the major thing I would want to change in Special Olympics Wisconsin? You know what that was? I wanted, and I'm still going to push for this, I just haven't got that far yet. I want an athlete leader to be at the exact same level as the CEO and work side by side. And not as a mentor, but it is at the same stage. We don't have that yet.
As a peer, right?
As a peer connected together, working at the same level in the same office, and like side by side going everywhere as the CEO does.
Well, if anybody...
That is my vision.
I think, Travis, if there's anybody in this movement who's going to be able to figure that out, it's you. We are...
Yeah.
My goodness, we're so lucky to have you in Wisconsin and Susie and her leadership. And yeah, we're just so thrilled you're here. I know so many of us value your friendship, and just, you know, you teach me something new all the time. And I think like to your point, that's how we all work together, right? We learn from each other all the time.
Hey Travis, when I first met you, it was one of the first athlete health messengers. I met you and Steve, and I'm like, this is who I want to be like. This is what I want to do. This, you know, I always had that dream of what I want to do. I'm like, these who I want to emulate. And thank you for providing your and Steve's leadership. It's been awesome.
Well, like I said, Ed, you know, we're all equal. You know how I feel about that. We're all equal. We're all athlete leaders. We just feed off from each other and get ideas from each other. That's what that all has to do with. And, you know, Edward, you've been a great role model to me. You know, I mean, geez, man, the stuff you've accomplished in life is amazing to me. I plan on attending the USA Games next year right here in our own backyard in Minnesota, in our region. So that's going to be amazing. You know, I cannot wait to see all of our athletes here from Wisconsin shine. I cannot wait for Team Wisconsin just do what they do, rock it out. You know, we are all one. We're all one big family here in Wisconsin and across the world in Special Olympics movement.
Well, I know, speaking for even my family, we are sure happy to have you a part of it, Travis, because you're like I said, we learn from you every day. And you're right. Go Team Wisconsin. We're very, very excited. We've got a really exciting year ahead. So thank you, Travis, for the leadership and the impact you've made in Special Olympics Wisconsin. And if you are inspired by Travis's story and you want to learn more about how to get involved in the Special Olympics Wisconsin movement, how to support other leaders like Ed and Travis, or maybe just to get your person involved, please visit us at SpecialOlympicsWisconsin.org, and all of us will be more than happy to welcome you to this family. Thanks so much for listening.